पाततलं रमाया दत्ताक्षणं पक्षिदरण्यच न प्रियस्य अस्प्रक्ष्म तत्प्रभृति नान्यसमक्षमञ्च स्थातुं त्वयाभिरमतापत पारयाम। O lotus-eyed one, the goddess of fortune considers it a festive occasion whenever she touches the sole of your lotus feet. You are very dear to the residents of the forest, and therefore we will also touch those lotus feet. From that time on, we will be unable even to stand in the presence of any other man, for we will have been fully satisfied by you. Sri Rayat Padam Bujarajas Chakametulasya Labhapi Vakshasi Padam Kilabritya Justam Yasya Swavikshana Utanya Sura Prayashas Tahadvat Payam Chatapapada Dacha Prapanna. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the demigods with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayan. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulsi Devi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. Report. The gopis here point out that the dust of the Lord's feet is so ecstatic and enlivening that the goddess of fortune wants to abandon her unique position on his chest to share with many other devotees a position at his feet. Thus, the gopis urge Lord Krishna not to be guilty of a double standard. Since the Lord gave the goddess of fortune a place on his chest and also allowed her to seek the dust at his lotus feet, Krishna should certainly give the same opportunity to his most loving devotees, the gopis. After all, the gopis plead, seeking the dust of your lotus feet is perfectly justified, and you should encourage us in this endeavor and not try to send us away. Om Agyan Timidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jinatasmai Sri Gurupe Namaha Vansha kalpata dubyas cha kripa sindubya eva cha patithanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha bhaja shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the demigods with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayan. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulsi Devi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. The Braj Gopis have just demonstrated the highest expression of total renunciation. They have abandoned their husbands, their fathers, their mothers, their children's, the security, comforts, and protection of a home. They have abandoned their reputations to alone enter into the dark forests of Vrindavan, simply because the nature of the gopi's love is to please Krishna, is their exclusive desire in life. Everything else has no relevance. All the things that are so dear to the people of this world, all of those attachments that people give their entire lives to satisfying and fulfilling, the gopis, without even a second thought, left them all behind forever, simply to offer even a moment's pleasure to Lord Sri Krishna. When the gopis left their homes, it appeared that it was a permanent abandonment of everything in their life. Simply to give pleasure to Krishna for one evening. The gopis knew that by the next morning, Krishna, who was only a child of 7 or 8 years old, he would certainly return home to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba. But they would never again be allowed to return home. They had already insulted to the highest degree all their family members by leaving them for another man. But the gopis did not care, because they knew by satisfying Krishna, all their desires would be fulfilled. And by trying to satisfy everyone else and anyone else in this world, our desires will never be fulfilled. This is renunciation in its purest form. Krishna, he is unique and different than any of his other incarnations or expansions. If you perform sacrifice to satisfy the demigods, they will certainly give you whatever you like. And even the other avatars, like Ram and Narasingha Dev, if you surrender to them, when the Lord finally appears before you, he will fulfill all of your desires. But after the gopis, they renounced everything. They accepted the most incredible, fearful condition. Can you imagine a young woman cast into the forest alone? And after approaching Krishna on his call, understand that the gopis were not acting whimsically. When Krishna played on his flute under the Bamsivat tree, he was calling them. And they were willing to give up everything simply to answer his call. And when they came,
He rejected them. He told them, you go home. It's no place for you in the middle of the night with so many forest creatures alone.
And of course, the gopis, whatever Krishna really wants, they will do. If Krishna wanted them to go home, they would have immediately left for home. But they knew that Krishna was testing them. And therefore, they had to further show their intense love for him. And here, they are with the greatest sense of humility. They are praying to Krishna to give them shelter in the dust of his lotus feet. It is said that whenever we approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the great devotees of the Lord, we must first approach the dust of their lotus feet. Guru Maharaj has taught us, when we come into the temple, before the beautiful murti of Bhagwan, we should not first look into their face. We should first, with great humility, look below their feet at the dust of their lotus feet. And then with great care and attention and respect, we should raise to their lotus feet. And not jumping, but with great reverence we should raise to their ankles, to their calves, to his knees, to his thighs, to his waist, and then his chest, and his arms, and his shoulders, and his beautiful neck. And then, with great humility, we can look into his beautiful moon-like face. And similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is none different than Krishna. It is the literary incarnation of Sri Krishna. Krishne svadhamo pagate dharma jnanadibhi saha kalona shtatrisham esha purana kodanoditaha. When Krishna left this world, he incarnated within the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the great acharyas, they teach us that each canto of the Bhagavatam is a particular limb in the form of Sri Krishna. The 10th canto is like the moon-like face of Sri Krishna. One should not approach the 10th canto directly. This is not the proper sense of humility. One should approach the dust of the lotus feet first by approaching the first verse of the first canto and absorbing one's mind in a spirit of worship to understand that. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he went to Sri Radha Kund, he was giving Bhagavat Katha. And he was such a famous, great, and learned scholar of the Bhagavat that Brijbasis, Babajis, Sadhus, Swamis, so many people came to hear him speak by the thousands. And he spoke for 30 consecutive days, for about at least 3 to 6 hours every day, on the first verse of the first canto. And people were asking, when will you begin to discuss the Rasa Lila?
He said, until we first thoroughly understand this first sloka, there's no question of approaching into the higher realms of understanding of the Bhagavatam. Gradually, we must raise through one canto to the next, to the next, to the next. By trying to rush through the Bhagavatam, there may be some pleasure, but the true realization and understanding comes by carefully, respectfully worshipping every sloka from the beginning to the end, progressively. The gopis, they are seeking shelter in the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. And they are describing here that these lotus feet are so worshipable that even Lakshmi Devi, she has such a unique and special position that she is eternally residing on the chest of Lord Narayan. One name of Lakshmi is Shri, which means she's the reservoir of all beauty. And Lord Hari is known as Srinivas or Sridhar. Srinivas means his chest is the abode of Lakshmi. Sridhar means he's always holding Lakshmi on his chest. And there's no one else on his chest except Lakshmi. There is a single golden hair, not two, not three, but only one. And that is the manifestation of Lakshmi, who's never separated from him. And yet, Lakshmi Devi is aspiring to be at the dust of the feet of Krishna, which is not a unique position. Because when she looks down upon the lotus feet of Krishna, she sees that Tulsi Devi is there. In fact, so many devotees are there worshipping his lotus feet. She wants to be amongst all of them, to share that most exalted service with all of his divine associates. When we speak of the dust of the lotus feet, we are meditating upon the most humble mood of service to the Lord. When we speak of approaching the lotus feet or taking the dust of the feet of the great Mahatmas or of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, we are speaking of surrendering our lives in the most menial form of service to them. Taking the dust from the lotus feet does not mean simply ritualistically grabbing someone's feet and then touching your head. Any person can do that. Sometimes we see a sadhu is walking and somebody very aggressively, ambitiously just grabs his feet and practically he trips and practically breaks his legs, and they feel very fortunate that they have received their dust and they put it on head. Meanwhile, they have put the person in terrible distress. Most people, when they come to take dust from the feet of sadhus, they're not doing it in a mood of service. They're in a mood of taking something. I want some pious boon in my life, and I have heard that it's lucky if you get the dust of the feet of sadhus on your head. My business will probably be better. My wife will be more nice to me. She will cook nicer food for me. She will not complain so much. My children will get better grades. My daughter will find a good husband. My friends will think I'm the best amongst all of them. These are the treasures that I'm seeking. And I have heard that it's good luck. It's pious to fulfill all these desires by somehow or other obtaining the dust from the feet of sadhus. So we grab it, to take it. There is practically no benefit in this mentality. Ye yatham am prapadyante tham stathaiva bhajamyaham amuvart manuvartante manusya parata saravashaha. As you approach Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. And actually, when you're approaching a sadhu, you're approaching Krishna. The sadhu has nothing to give you. It is Krishna who is giving through the sadhu. And if you approach the sadhu with not that respect to just take something, then what will Krishna manifest through the dust of his lotus feet to you? But to approach with great humility, that I am surrendered to you. I am your servant. I will do anything for you. You are great. I am small. Please accept whatever I have for your loving service. When we have this consciousness, then we are actually taking the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees. This is what it means to take shelter of the dust of the feet of Krishna and his devotees, to accept the mood of the most humble servant, to be willing and ready to give anything without expecting any prestige in return. Humility is the only means of approaching the lotus feet of Krishna. In order to approach the lotus feet of Krishna, we must first become as humble as the dust. Then Krishna's lotus feet accepts our service. So the gopis, although they are the most exalted, the most worshipable of all bhaktas, they are simply aspiring for the shelter of the dust of the feet of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, he has said that one cannot properly advance in Krishna consciousness unless one bathes, abhishekam, bathes in the dust that is from the feet of the Vaishnavas. When he covers his entire body with the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, then he is worthy of approaching Krishna. This is the words of Prahlad. He is saying you should bathe every limb of your body with the dust of the feet of the devotees, not just the top of your head. What does that mean? That every limb of your body, that means everything that you have should be used in the humble menial service of the Lord and his devotees. What is the exalted position of the gopis of Vrindavan? That they were so much attached to serving the Lord according to his pleasure in this mood of conjugal rasa. But here we understand what is their consciousness. We will find in the Rasa Lila very incomprehensible activities between Krishna and the gopis. They are dancing together. They are embracing one another. They are looking in each other's eyes with such intimate conjugal love. But the gopis, through all of this, they know that this is what Krishna wants of them. And therefore they are totally surrendered to pleasing Krishna in whatever way he likes. There is no lust. There is no selfish motivation. Ultimately, every gopi is simply assisting Sri Radharani in her loving service to the Lord. Every gopi is always aspiring to make wonderful arrangements for Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna's enjoyment. But the nature of Sri Radharani is that she also loves to make wonderful arrangements for her devotees to enjoy with Krishna. And if that's what Sri Radharani likes, the gopis are willing to accept that position as well. But the burning conjugal feelings in their heart are completely pure and free of any selfish motivation. It is simply expression of the sweetest, most intimate surrender at the dust of the feet of Sri Krishna. And even Lakshmi Devi, she aspires for the intimacy of that love. And in Vaikuntha, because the Leela is Aishwarya Ras, it is very formal. Krishna is the Supreme Master, the God, and everyone else is servant. And even in the conjugal relationship between Lakshmi and Narayan, still that formality that you are master, I am servant is there. It is only in Vrindavan that pure Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras and Madhuryaras is present. Even in the Leela of Sri Ram, certainly Kausalya and Dasarat were the mother and father. And also Ram had so many friends. But it was all in the mood that you are the master, I am the servant. It was all tinged with Dasyaras. Therefore, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras, in its pure form, where there is no Aishwarya, where there is no feeling that you are master, I am servant, is only in Vrijbhumi. And Lakshmi Devi wanted to taste the sweetness of that love. She wanted to enter into the Rasa Lila with Sri Krishna. And she went to Vrindavan, to the outskirts. To this very day, if you cross Jamuna from Vrindavan and go some distance, there is a place called Bailvan or Bilvavan. And there Sri Lakshmi Devi, it is also called Srivan, she performed tapasya, so that she could enter across Jamuna into the Ras Mandala. And she performed tapasya there for a long time. But when Shyam Sundar, Sri Krishna, and the Braj Gopis met together,
They decided that even though she was the worshipable goddess of fortune, the eternal consort of Srinivas, Lord Narayan, she still was considering herself to be the servant of the Lord, that he was the master. And therefore she was informed that if you want to become a member of this Raslila, you first have to become the servant of the servant of the servant of these cowherd girls of Brajbhumi. And because she could not give up her majestic understanding of Lord Narayan, she was not allowed to enter into Raslila. By spiritual vision, Krishna allowed her to watch it from Srivan to satisfy her desires, but she could not enter into it because she still had not adopted this mood of being the dust of Vrindavan on the feet of Krishna. Because she was still thinking, I am Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, she could not take the menial position of being the dust of Vrindavan at the feet of Krishna. Therefore, we should know that to enter into Brij Ras, the prerequisite is you have to become the dust at the feet of not only Krishna, but of all the Brijvasis. You have to become the most menial servant, willing to surrender all prestige, all honor, all material comforts, everything for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. That is Vrindavan. It is not so cheap. It is not that you just go to Vrindavan and think you can just chant so many lakhs of names and wander where you want and enter into Braj Leela. You have to actually become, if you want to understand the real dignity of Vrindavan Dham, you have to first enter by becoming the most obedient, menial, surrendered servant of the Lord and be willing to sacrifice anything for the pleasure of the Lord. And the Lord's will is manifested through the spiritual master. It is Gurudev who reveals Krishna to us. It is not by our own endeavors. It is not by our own conceptions. It is by becoming the dust at the feet of Guru and the Vaishnavas that the gift of bhakti is given to us. In fact, this is the highest, most exalted state in all of creation. To become the dust at the feet of Krishna and his devotees, Sri Radharani and her devotees. When you are the dust at the feet of Sri Radharani, she can step on you. She can do anything to you. And you are satisfied simply to give her pleasure. It is that mood of surrender, Sharanagati, that is the real goal of the Vaishnavas. And because the gopis had truly adopted this mood of total surrender in the most humble, menial mood of service to the Lord, Darsham Sundar gave them the most exalted service of participating in the beautiful Ras Leela. So do not try to enter into the Ras Leela immediately.
first understand the prerequisites of what the gopis did before they entered the Ras Lila. They gave up everything, they surrendered everything. Then think about this Ras Lila. Follow in the footsteps of the gopis, don't try to imitate them. That is the path of perfection. Is there any questions? No questions? Yes. Yes. The gopis ultimately went back too. But not until they perfectly satisfied all Krishna's desires. And the Brahmins' wives, they also went back. But only after they completely satisfied all Krishna's desires. And the fact is, when they left, their families told them, if you leave, you'll never be allowed back. But Krishna, his mercy is so great that if you surrender to him, he'll give you everything. He's within everyone's hearts. Because they were willing to give up everything for Krishna, Krishna not only gave him himself, but he gave them their families and everything back as well. But we should understand that they came for Krishna's pleasure, and they returned on Krishna's order. And Krishna, they were advanced devotees. When Krishna tested them, they understood his heart. When Krishna told them, go back home, if they really felt Krishna wanted them to go home, they would have left immediately. But Krishna was giving them a chance. It's like we find in the earlier cantos of Bhagavatam, when Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest to find Vishnu, his Gurudev Narada Muni came, and the first thing he told Dhruva is, you should go back home. You're just a young boy, you shouldn't be living in the forest, it's very dangerous here. And besides that, you should not be so attached to your father's insults. You should just go back home and enjoy like an ordinary child. Dhruva said, no, I will not. I will stay here. And I will not leave until I obtain the mercy of Lord Narayan. That was the answer Narada wanted to hear. But first he wanted to give him a chance. If you're not so sincere, better you go home. But if you're fixed in your determination, then you stay here. He tested him. And similarly, before we become Krishna conscious, Krishna will test us in so many ways. It's not easy. As you make advancement in spiritual life, Krishna will offer you everything else. In the Bible, this is also explained. Lord Jesus, he went to the desert, to the wilderness, for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted. He didn't sleep. He simply prayed fervently for the grace of God. And after 40 days and 40 nights of severe tapasya, Maya personified, or Satan, appeared before him and first offered him an incredible kingdom. He showed him right before his eyes a wonderful kingdom and said, this is yours. You just become my servant. I will give you all this. He offered him everything this world has to offer. And ultimately he said, I will make you God. And Jesus refused even that. And he told Satan, go away, get out of here. And similarly, Lord Buddha, when he sat under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, Maya tempted him with beautiful celestial women, apsaras, dancing all around him. She offered him great wealth, heavenly wealth. She offered him tremendous distinction of being the king of the earth. She even offered him that you never have to stay in this world again, you can get out. He rejected everything. He said, no, I just want to be the servant of all suffering people of this world. So we should know that as we make spiritual progress, Krishna tests us. He'll offer us everything. He'll offer us name and fame. And if we're satisfied with that, that's all we'll get. We will not get Krishna. He may offer us tremendous amounts of wealth. And if we're satisfied with that, we won't get Krishna. Ultimately, when you become so advanced, Krishna will offer you heavenly planets and all the beautiful women and all the luxuries of those heavenly planets and all the prestige and distinction of being the king of a heaven. He will offer you all that. Just wait. And if you reject that, he'll offer you liberation from suffering forever. And if you reject that, he'll offer you all the 8 mystic cities where you can become like a god yourself. And if you reject even that, then he will give you pure bhakti. If you're willing to accept any of these other things, he'll just let you be satisfied with that. But he will not give you entrance into Vrindavan. He will not give you entrance into his divine lila. So just as Krishna tested the gopis, he tests all of his devotees. And if our only goal is simply service to his devotees, service to his lotus feet, then we can attain Krishna. And that is the only treasure, that is the only valuable commodity in all of creation, is Krishna consciousness, bhakti. Purushartha siromani. It is the crest jewel of all goals of life. Artha, kama, dama, moksha. These things are actually disturbances. We become so infatuated and attached to these things, but actually they are simply a disturbance. Only pure bhakti is worthy of our attention. And therefore, through every aspect of our life, it always should be directed by the grace of Guru and the sadhus toward pure bhakti. Should not be diverted. To utilize whatever God has given us in his loving service and in the loving service of his devotees means to take the dust of the feet of the sadhus. So let that be our only ambition, our only goal in life. In this consciousness to be the dust at the feet of the devotees of Lord Sri Hari. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.